California became the first state to legalize medical cannabis when voters passed the Compassionate Use Act in 1996. Today, cannabis is legal for both medicinal and recreational use and has been for the past 6 years. But the more we get used to dispensaries being as common in our neighborhoods as fast food restaurants, and as the shock of seeing billboards openly advertising cannabis wears off, new questions continue to emerge. The alphabet soup of cannabis products is daunting, from CBD to CBN, from THC to Delta 8. What does it all mean? And then there's indica versus sativa. What the heck is Kush? Cartridges, edibles, tinctures, and rubs. Are you feeling like you're sort of in the weeds? You need an expert to sort it all out? Fortunately, we have one. And we visit a local lounge where not only is it okay to openly use cannabis products, it's encouraged. We'll show you what it's all about today. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Here in California, where cannabis has been legal for recreational use for nearly 6 years, the selection of cannabis products is kind of like a supermarket. But for many of us, the ever-evolving types and qualities of those products is still puzzling. Joining us to sort all of that out is Dr. Ziva Cooper. She's an associate professor at UCLA and director of the Center for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. I know how to say that. Cannabinoids over at UCLA. Dr. Cooper, thanks for joining us. I didn't even know at UCLA they had a department like that.
We do. We're very proud of it. It started back in 2017, and now we're a full-fledged center.
Just tell me about the department. I mean, so what do you do there? You research, but are students getting degrees? Or what's going on in that department?
Yeah, so it's a multidisciplinary initiative where we have people from all across campus, faculty, students, who join in to try and understand and do research related to the impact of cannabis use on brain, body, as well as community and society. And so the two things that we really focus on are research from the clinical aspects of research, the therapeutic effects of cannabis and the chemicals in the cannabis plant called cannabinoids, like you said before, as well as understanding the adverse effects of some of these chemicals. And we also really place an importance on education and outreach. And so we do have a course with 80 undergraduate and graduate students enrolled every single year. And we have outreach events for the community to help improve cannabis literacy. Because as you said, a lot of people are walking into dispensaries with very little knowledge about what all these products mean, looking at the alphabet soup, looking at the different products from smokes, vaporizers, topicals, and people don't really understand what the effects might be. What are the issues that they should consider when purchasing some of these products?
I'm sure we could talk about this for a couple of hours. Since we don't have a couple of hours, let's try to keep it to the point. But, you know, we listed off some products. Talk about some of these products on the market that people have access to that they can get. Talk about that for a sec.
So we're seeing a range of different types of products now emerge. I mean, you might remember back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, where most people, when they used cannabis, they were smoking a joint or a cigarette. Now you can get vaporized cannabis products where you can get these cartridges that have concentrated amounts of these cannabis chemicals, and you can vaporize them instead of combusting or smoking them.
Like an e-cigarette.
Yes, exactly. Like an e-cigarette. Yeah, similar to e-cigarettes.
Right.
And then you have a range of these edible products that are popping up. And a lot of these edible products are very appealing to your sweet tooth, let's say, if you're interested in brownies or gummies. But also, you know, they could be prepared in a form that looks more medicinal, like pills or tinctures that you place under your tongue. And then we're also seeing a range of these topical products emerge where people are using them because it's thought that they won't necessarily have the same impact on the brain, the psychoactive component, but maybe they're helpful for helping with ailments that are more localized.
When you talk about edibles, let me break in for a second. the grandma of all edibles was the Alice B. Toklas brownies, right? Back in the day.
Correct, yeah.
And that's where people would cook marijuana into brownies, and they would eat them. Well, yeah, that's kind of what these gummies and things are today, right?
Right. But now there's kind of an effort with this regulated market, with legalized cannabis in the state of California, where these edible products are manufactured to a standardized method. So essentially, consumers, if they're buying these regulated or legal products, consumers can read the labels and see what is actually in these products, what type of chemicals are in these products. You'll notice that a lot of these products might also be childproof as well, to make sure that children don't get into them. As you can imagine, chocolate brownies might be appealing to people who aren't necessarily interested in getting the same effect of cannabis as a non-medical cannabis user or a cannabis user.
You know, we mentioned a number of things, CBDs, CBNs, and, you know, somebody might be out there going, LOL. a lot of letters there. But I want to talk about a couple of things in particular. There is a breakdown between THC and CBDs. That's different parts of the plant. But I also want to talk about Delta 8. And what is Delta 8? And should we be concerned about Delta 8?
So as you referenced before, the cannabis plant has over 100 different chemicals that are unique to this plant. CBD is one of these chemicals. It is not known to be intoxicating. Delta 9 THC, most people call this THC for short, that is the primary intoxicating component of the cannabis plant. Now we're starting to see a popular product called Delta 8 THC come to the market. Delta 8 THC is actually a chemical that's found in the cannabis plant. So it is considered to be a natural part of the cannabis plant, but it's usually found in very small concentrations. And so generally speaking, what happens is that in order to create more Delta 8 THC, sometimes producers create a synthetic pathway, a pathway to boost up the production of the Delta 8 THC. Now, Delta 8 THC is of interest for a number of reasons, but one reason in particular is because it's thought that it might give people a lighter high. Some people refer to it as a diet weed or diet marijuana, where the Delta 8 might give people less intoxication than Delta 9 THC. The issue with that, though, is that at this point, we're unsure of the effects of Delta 8 THC. There's only been a handful of studies in humans showing its effects. And it does seem like Delta 8 THC does produce milder effects because you need more of it to produce the same effect as Delta 9 THC. But another issue with the Delta 8 THC products is the fact that there isn't much oversight with respect to its preparation. And when there isn't much oversight, again, this is depending on which state you're in, there's the danger that there might be contaminants in those products. You might get other chemicals from the cannabis plant in those products that you don't necessarily want to ingest. For example, there might be a lot of Delta 9 THC in those Delta 8 THC products.
In other words, the bottom line is these things keep popping up and they're not necessarily supervised. And so we don't really know whether they're got a stamp of approval on them. And I want to continue that conversation. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we continue with Dr. Ziva Cooper exploring the positive and the negative health effects of cannabis and what the latest research is telling us. We'll be right back. Don't go away. There's so much information coming out so fast about cannabis and frequently so much misinformation as well. It's hard to sort out the positive and the negative effects of cannabis. Now, some of us remember there was an old 1936 movie called Reefer Madness. It was a propaganda film about the horrors of marijuana.
Innocently they dance, innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
That film has long been the source of jokes, but what are we learning about cannabis now that it is in wider usage and in stronger and stronger formulations? With us again is Dr. Ziva Cooper from the UCLA Center for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. See, I knew how to say that. And I guess, Dr. Cooper, you know, I want to finish up where we were last segment on Delta 8, because it's not something that's approved here in California yet. You know, it's popping up in convenience stores and gas stations. Why don't you sort of just lay that out for us about its legality and your, again, concern?
Yeah, so its legality is confusing because it also matters which state you're in at the time. And the truth is that it seems like the state of California regulates or oversees the production of Delta-8 THC products, just like it does Delta-9 THC products. That being said, you can get Delta-8 THC in places that don't abide by these regulations or by these standards. And so that's an issue, right? So if the product that you're getting isn't adhering to those quality control standards that the state has set in place, then you're in danger of essentially using a product that might have chemicals in there that you're not interested in being exposed to. And some of them might have health effects, negative health effects that we just don't know about yet.
One of the things that we talked about right at the very beginning of the show is the fact that at UCLA, you do research. What are you finding out over there? I know we need a couple of hours just to talk about that. So can you break that down in a couple of minutes?
Yeah, so what we're interested in here at UCLA is, again, understanding the potential therapeutic, the medicinal benefits of this plant and the chemicals in this plant, as well as the potential adverse effects. And so part of the work that we do at UCLA is trying to understand some of these products that we see popping up. For example, CBG, cannabigerol, which hasn't really been studied yet in humans, yet if you go to shops in California, you will see cannabis varieties that say on the labels, they have high concentrations of CBG. You'll see medical products that have the word CBG on them, cannabigerol, and these medical products might be used by patients that are looking for its pain relieving effects or perhaps its appetite stimulating effects. And so one project that we have going on here is trying to understand what are the effects of this particular chemical that people are already using. And so what we're trying to do here, unfortunately, is because the market and the policy is going at lightning speed. Every other week, we hear about a new different product on the market. Here, we're trying to get the science to catch up to popular use, perception, and public policy. We're trying to actually do the studies to be able to develop the evidence and tell people, this is what is known about this product, these types of products. These are the health risks, and these are the ways where it actually might be helpful if you are a patient. Because surprisingly, even though a lot of patients use these products, we actually don't know very much about these products and how they might be helpful or harmful for the indications that people are using them for.
I just want to ask you, we know the damage that cigarettes can do to the lungs. We know that it's a carcinogen. What do we know about marijuana and the lungs?
So, actually, researchers at UCLA have found that unlike with tobacco smoking, when people smoke cannabis, it does not present an increased risk for developing lung cancer. And this is actually surprising. When this news came out, it was surprising because people figured, well, you're combusting something, you're inhaling the smoke and the toxins that go along with smoking anything. But the fact that it is not associated with lung cancer was a really important finding.
What about vaping? Vaping is another way to get it into your lungs.
Yes, and so vaping is also an important issue with a big question mark because studies have shown that when you vaporize plant material, and not many people do this necessarily because it's not what is marketed here in California, there are decreases in respiratory risks, decreases in risks associated with your lungs and respiration. The issue is with the vape pens that people are usually using, they have cartridges that might have different chemicals in it, which might have a negative impact on respiratory health. And at this point, you know, we are unsure of what the long-term effects of these vape pens are. I think that this is research that is ongoing right now here at UCLA and I think at University of California in San Francisco. But, you know, users should be made aware that we are just not sure of the long-term risks of the chemicals in these cartridges.
It is interesting, and I've covered a lot of this over the last few years. I actually went to a place out in Palm Desert that manufactures plant, and also I've been in some of these stores and seen what they do. But I think, you know, as we continue on, it's a work in progress of learning and understanding. Thank you so much for helping us understand some of this on this program. We'll have you back. Dr. Ziva Cooper, thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up on Fox 11 News In Depth, it's one of the few places in the whole country where you can go out and enjoy your cannabis with company. Coming up next, we introduce you to the founder of a cannabis lounge in West Hollywood. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and for those who like their cannabis with a social element, there aren't many options, really. In fact, in Los Angeles County, there's only one public space where people can gather to smoke, drink, and ingest cannabis products with their friends. There's a space in West Hollywood where you can not only buy cannabis products at the dispensary, but you can go upstairs and enjoy them with friends. It's called the Artist Tree Studio Lounge. Joining us right now is Lauren Fontaine, the founder of that space. Welcome, Lauren. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, yours is currently the only cannabis lounge in Los Angeles, right? Is that correct?
That's right.
And how did you get started with that? And tell us a little bit about what that's like. If we were to walk in the door, what would we see?
Sure. So I've been in the industry for a long time, since the medical era of cannabis. And in 2018, the city of West Hollywood decided they would allow consumption lounges. So my partners and I decided to apply for a license. We were really excited about being able to open a public venue where people could come and hang out and smoke cannabis and also enjoy a lot of programming. So the lounge is a space that is set up like a restaurant style space, as you can see in some of these videos, where we have table seating, we have a large outdoor patio area. You can order a huge variety of cannabis products from our menu. We have a huge range of things from edibles, drinks, cannabis, vapes, things you can smoke. We also have a lot of programming. So we have live entertainment, like live music, comedy nights, movie nights. We also have yoga and wellness classes in our third floor studio space.
You have alcohol there as well, is that right, today?
We do not, because by state law, a cannabis business cannot have any alcohol on the premises.
I see. And I guess, you know, I'm kind of wondering that, you know, what kind of people come there? Is it like a bar? Is it like you go into a bar, like Cheers, and everybody knows your name? You know?
Yes, in a way, because we do have a lot of repeat customers, and our staff is great. So we really try and foster that atmosphere where we get regulars and people want to come back. But we see a huge variety of customers come through the door. So we see a lot of tourists. We see a lot of all different age ranges of people. So some people, you know, they're not heavy cannabis users, but they just think that this is a great experience. And then people that are regular cannabis consumers and just want to enjoy a night out.
You know, we know that bars close at 2 a.m. Well, what about your place? I mean, can people stay there as long as they want to? Is there an opening, a closing time?
So by law, under the state of California, we're not allowed to sell any cannabis after 10 p.m. So that means that we stop cannabis sales at that time. We do stay open later than that, so people that purchase things before that can still stay, enjoy the space. Sometimes we still have entertainment going on after 10 p.m.
What are the challenges you face?
So, you know, there's a few. One of them is state law right now. So in California, there is no cannabis consumption lounge license officially. So, you know, they haven't really come up to date with what's happening in the industry. And so we technically are operating under a retail license, which means that we're not allowed to sell any non-cannabis items. So this is a challenge for lounge operators because it means we can't actually sell non-cannabis food or beverages. We are partnered with a local restaurant, so we do offer a wide variety of food items that people can purchase and consume in the space, but those all have to be sold technically from an outside entity. There's a lot of other, you know, rules that we have to abide by being a licensed cannabis shop. So that is definitely a challenge and an expense. And then, of course, just any operational challenges that a restaurant would face, whether it's just the operating expenses. But, you know, we've been fortunate that we were able to open and now are the only lounge operating in the LA area. And so we're really excited about having this opportunity and being a place that can give people this concept of cannabis that maybe is different from what they have in their minds, that it can be this nice elevated venue where people can come in and it doesn't feel dark or dingy or smelly. It feels like any other type of restaurant or bar.
But I'm curious. You are the only lounge that we're aware of. Why aren't there others? Is it hard to get a license? Do you know of others that are going to be popping up? I remember when recreational first happened, 6 years ago, there was talk of having lounges. There was talk of having one in West Hollywood. But I haven't heard a lot of that kind of conversation. Why do you think there aren't more of these?
There's a couple of reasons. So one is that the city of West Hollywood is the only place in LA County right now that allows lounges. So that means there are no legally operating lounges in the city of LA or any of the other nearby cities. And then within West Hollywood, they did have a very rigorous application process and a limited number of licenses available. So it was very hard to obtain a license to begin with. They did their licensing process in 2018. So it's now been a long time since that happened. But a lot of the other people that got licenses, you know, ran into issues, whether it was because of COVID or funding challenges, or just the time it takes to get something constructed and up and running.
I've got another question, though, and we only have a short period of time. In a bar, a bartender assumes a certain amount of liability if they watch you getting drunker and drunker and drunker throughout the night. What happens in a place like yours?
So it's similar. You know, we put a lot of time and effort into training our staff so they can look out for signs of overconsumption and monitor the consumers. We know exactly what people are purchasing because we have to ring them up and it's tracked in metric. So we can see, you know, how many items they've purchased. We can keep track of what they consume.
All right. Well, sounds like it's an interesting place and so much appreciate your coming by to talk about it. Lauren Fontaine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll have more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to your podcast, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.
Smoking the soul-destroying reefer, they find a moment's pleasure, but at a terrible price. Debauchery, violence, murder.